Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And it's comic.
And that's a wrap. Good night, folks.
I got nothing. No. I can't follow
you heard
that.
The man. Just,
hmm. Well, I guess the shortest comic segments ever brought to you by Shirtosaurus, GameStop, and BuzzTime.
No. We're just done. We're not even going to cover games and movies. We're calling it. It's an early Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, DC bungs things up and we just throw in the towel.
Yep.
No, we do have quite a few things to talk about. Want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and of course, GameStop.
He's a copycat, you know. You already said that.
I know. It's all right.
For those listening at home, Darren shrugs indifferently.
Yeah. Theater of the mind.
Darren, what you got?
All right. Well, first off, we have been talking about DC Rebirth for a while. And
yes. You know, is that still a thing?
Yes, huh? It is.
Yeah. So,
I like the name better than the New 52. So you know it's got that going for it.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is nice.
They say it's not a reboot. It's just bringing back some of the more quote cohesive continuity style of storytelling. And yes, I used finger quotes for that because it hasn't really been cohesive for a while. But now we find out that starting in May. In May, May 25th, we'll have DC Universe Rebirth number 1. It's like a one-shot issue. And we were told that is all you need to get started with following the comics from here on out. Of course, we know that's a lie. Now we find that DC Rebirth number 1 starts a storyline that is going to run for 2 years across every single book.
Yeah.
Every one of them. So, I don't know about you guys, but let's see. 26 books, $3 a book. That comes up to $78 a month.
You forgot to carry the I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I was about to say, does anyone think that's a little too much to spend just to follow a storyline that may or may not actually be good?
Yeah.
Well, we do, but we're geeks for more than just comic books.
Yeah.
No, even I agree. That's a bit much.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
Have we asked Greg what he thinks?
No, I haven't. But I'm pretty sure that Greg, who is a big indie comics guy and a big Image guy, probably doesn't care at all.
Duly noted.
So that's the thing that's going on.
DC, that's a type of voltage, isn't it?
It is. But, it was championed by that bastard Edison.
But Rebirth going to be kind of led by Jeff Johns, who did great work with...
Tesla for life!
But Johns did great work for Green Lantern and Flash, so they're thinking, screw it, let's just give him everything. And see how it goes. Speaking of seeing how it goes, have you guys heard the name Eddie Berganza?
Yes.
Nope.
All right. Well, we here at the
But I'm supposed to. I'm the comic guy.
Yeah. We here at the Geek Cave feel that sometimes it's necessary to make certain bastards famous.
That's how I got this job, by the way.
our commitment to making certain bastards famous.
Yeah.
if for no other reason, then everyone will know their name and know to avoid them. Say hi to the, you know, Don Matrick, former Microsoft boss, by the way. But anyway, back in 2012, Bleeding Cool first reported a story about a sexual assault that had happened in a hotel lobby at WonderCon. The assailant at the time was named as DC Comics then-executive editor Eddie Berganza, and the person assaulted was a comic creator, a partner of a DC regular creator, and an occasional convention reporter for Bleeding Cool. She didn't want to be named. The story kind of faded away after a while. But since then, a number more of sexual harassment complaints against Berganza have come up, and he was demoted. From executive editor to group editor, and banned from attending comic conventions for DC Comics. This guy's behavior is so bad they wouldn't let him attend cons anymore. So naturally, that's a problem. Where am I going?
So why is he showing up on our end if he's not allowed at the cons or anything?
Right. Well, flash forward to just this past few days. We're taping this on April 23rd. But flash forward to DC announcing they're going to restructure Vertigo, their only comic line that was making a consistent profit. And they fired the female editor in charge with no real explanation given. She's really liked by pretty much everyone who's worked with her. I've spoken with a few people in the industry on Twitter, and they say, yeah, she's great. We have no idea what happened. And it turns out she apparently had a run-in with Mr. Berganza, and Berganza is still up to his shit. Now, you know, sexual harassment is crappy behavior. But what makes it worse in this case is that Berganza has been so bad recently, and this news just coming out after the latest straw that broke the camel's back, Alex DeCampi wrote that no women were allowed to work with Eddie in the Superman offices ever because DC was so afraid that he was going to harass someone again. They created a woman-free zone. Why the Superman offices? Well, he kind of happens to be in control of the Superman and mainstream Wonder Woman titles. That's okay. That's not, yeah. So
okay. Yeah. So rather than dismissing someone who is a proven sexual offender and leech on society,
yeah,
they basically build a He-Man woman haters club in the offices for him and his friends to play in.
That sounds about accurate to me.
That is not Ote.
But no, it's not. It is far from Ote.
But, you know, yeah, the final straw was Shelley Bond being let go, and people on Twitter threw a major fit.
And for good reason. So I just wanted to put his name out there, Eddie Berganza, just so everyone knows who he is. That's pretty much all I've got.
I want Superman to throw a bus at him.
Henry Cavill will make sure it hurt, too.
Yeah. All right. Chad, what do you got for comics?
Well, I just read a magnificent comic issue that was Looney Tunes. It was all Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Not a single word spoken in the entire thing outside of meep, meep.
Meep.
And because it was all pictures and no words, it seems really rather silly to describe it here. So,
but did you enjoy it?
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
It's the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Who doesn't enjoy that? Communists, child molesters, and Eddie Berganza. But I repeat myself.
Oh. Well, if there's no more comic book news, it's time for the long box. As I try to do with this segment, whether people like it or not, I like to try and go through and find the kind of obscure characters that most people might not know about, the peripheral characters. Batman, the Brave and the Bold cartoon series was a great way to find DC, you know, characters on that level. And this, that particular show is how I was introduced to this month's character, Gentleman Ghost. The name says it all. I mean, he's a ghost, but he wears a monocle, top hat, cane, tails. You know, he's very well spoken for a villain. As well, most villains are well spoken. He's British, so that adds, you know, an air of villainous to him, regardless. Gentleman Ghost was first created by Joe Kubert and Robert Connor, K-A-N-I-G-H-E-R. I couldn't even tell you how to pronounce that. Kainer, Kiner, Kiner, Connor, blah, blah, blah. Back in 1947, the ghost has been around for a long time, but then again, he's a ghost. He doesn't die. Gentleman Ghost, his real name is Jim Craddock. Now, originally, he was the illegitimate son of an English gentleman who abandoned Jim and his mother, forcing them into poverty, as you do. He grew up to be a notorious highwayman, or robber, for those who don't know ye old English, and terrorized the English countryside in about the 1800s. Then he ran across a gypsy. That's never good. I don't think he robbed the gypsy, but anytime a gypsy pulls you aside and tells you something, it's generally not good. The gypsy prophesied that he would basically end up, if he died, his spirit would not rest until the spirit of those who killed him moved on to the next phase, the afterlife. Okay, so you get killed, you haunt someone till they die, they pass away, you can move on to your eternal rest. That's great and all, except he ends up in the Wild West of the United States and encounters two gunslingers, Nighthawk and Cinnamon. Craddock was accused of sexually assaulting Cinnamon. They lynched him and he passed away only to rise again as a phantom. The problem is, Nighthawk and Cinnamon are actually the reincarnations of Prince Khufu and Shaira, or Hawkman and Hawkgirl, for those who don't know those names, meaning their souls will always reincarnate. Jim Craddock ain't going nowhere anytime soon. Leaving him to kind of wander the ages, tormenting Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and a variety of other characters such as The Flash, Batman, The Atom, the Teen Titans, because he's a vengeful spirit and he's pissed and can't really move on. And so he's just kind of one of those minor characters that pop up sporadically because it's fun to draw a suit with a top hat and monocle but no face behind it. he was briefly seen in the Infinite Crisis storyline, fighting Alan Scott. He's kind of been a member, an unofficial member of the Secret Six here, there, and yonder. In the New 52, he was kind of tweaked a little bit. He's still a thief, but not so much a ghost. He just kind of does his stuff under a guise. He uses magic to give the illusion of ghostlihood, but nothing really special about him. In terms of his abilities, apparently originally he wasn't a ghost either. He had to use special apparati to do his ghostly abilities. This is back in the 1940s when they couldn't just make someone a ghost. But eventually he was able to summon spiritual weapons, his cane would shoot spectral fire and such. You know, standard ghost shit for a thief. What?
I just really like the idea that they're standard ghost shit.
Well, everyone's got to start somewhere.
This is true. Please continue.
Yeah. So that pretty much sums him up for the comics. As far as other appearances, he's appeared on the all-new Super Friends Hour. He appeared briefly in Justice League Unlimited, and as I said, he was in Batman the Brave and the Bold, which is by far the best incarnation of the character. Plus, I like the show. So, Gentleman Ghost. It's a thing. He's a ghost and he's a gentleman. It's Casper gone bad. So now you know. And knowledge is power. G.I. Joe. Someone say something else because I'm tired of talking.
Well, then I guess we can close out the segment.
Yes, please.
Okay, so if you want, you can check out the Gaming and Movies podcast right now on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and GeekCavePodcast.com. And if not, we'll see you next month. Remember, everyone's a geek for something.